Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Has anybody ever sat in your worship service at your church and said, "Nah, it's not for me. Nah, that's not for me.
Other than my wife?"
I think I might have sat through some of my worship services and thought, it's not for me.
I'll bet you most of the time people say, "Nah, that's not for me," because they're hearing the announcements.
Oh, yeah.
And so today we're going to follow up on something that Chuck Lawless did in a blog about reasons why announcements usually don't lead to church member involvement.
You know, isn't it amazing? I'm Mark. This is Dan. Yeah. Over there's Kyle.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
Alex on sabbatical. Isn't it amazing how much energy and time is put into church announcements?
Oh, my goodness.
As though it's a huge deal. It's a life changer.
Yeah.
Have you made the announcements? Do we have any new announcements? Does anybody have any announcements to make today? Pastor, can you make an announcement for me today?
This is such a sore spot for me.
As if it's the billboard in Times Square and the whole world's going to see it. We're not at church for announcements. That's not why we gathered on Sunday morning, is to make announcements. It's not, you know.
Yeah, but how are they going to know about the pancake breakfast?
I know.
And I will tell you something. Now, I'm coming from a marketing background. I mean, that's the gist of my business, is marketing and advertising. And I will tell you right now, having been in, I don't know how many churches, if your announcements are advertisements.
They are, in some way or another.
And if your advertisement isn't as good as the advertisements that your people are watching on TV or hearing on the radio, then you need to just stop and think about what you're doing.
They're not getting anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
No.
So let's talk about these and let's see what happens when you do announcements that just aren't going anywhere.
Folks, and Lawless says, folks are not listening to our announcements or reading our emails or our newsletters. At a minimum, they're not paying attention enough to hear with clarity what we're trying to say. There are too many other distractors, including within a worship service, that keep them from having their undivided attention. You know, you get up there and you just start reading off, and you know, the announcements for this week are, we're going to have this meeting and that meeting. People zone out at that point.
Yeah.
And frankly, many times, guys, you'll give announcements that relate to a committee or to a group of people. If it doesn't relate to every single person in that sanctuary, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
And even if it does, consider whether it matters more than the gospel you're preaching that Sunday morning.
Well, and again, that comes back to timing.
Yes.
When do you do the announcements? This is such a sore spot for me, because if you do your announcements in the worship experience itself, what have you just done?
Please don't do that. This is more important than the Lord. That happens so many times. Gentlemen, ladies, please. We call it housekeeping. There are certain housekeeping matters that may need to be done when the church has gathered on Sunday morning, because that's when most people are there. So it's possible and likely that there are some housekeeping matters that need to be done. Mm-hmm. For example, the church I'm interim pastor, they need to announce this past Sunday morning that their potential pastor was coming in view of a call the following Sunday. You'd be here on Saturday. We'd have a meet and greet. That needed to be said. Mm-hmm. You've got some housekeeping matters that may need to be said, but you say those before the worship service begins.
Right.
You get up and welcome to hear the day. It's, you know, 10 o'clock. We start right at 10 or right at 10:30. Here are some things we need to know about this week. And then just share three or four things that maybe the whole church needs to know. I would say no more than three, because they can't remember more than that anyway. And then what we do at Linwood Church, where I'm pastor, is we, our worship leader Howie will then, after he gives the sort of the announcements or the housekeeping matters, whoever does it that week, will then sit down on the front row, and for 30 seconds to a minute, there's just dead silence. Mm. And then when that dead silence is over, after 30 seconds to a minute, then one of our leaders gets up, and the first thing people hear that Sunday morning is a scriptural call to worship that tells us now we're in worship. And we don't interrupt the worship later on with more announcements. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. You have to do some housekeeping things. Do them at the very, very beginning. I wouldn't even do them at the end. I think the end is a time to meditate on what you've talked about, let the Lord speak to you, leave encouraged, I don't want the last thing they hear to be that we got a preschool meeting tomorrow at 2. I want them to leave with God's word in their mind and their heart.
And again, remember, people don't want to hear announcements.
No.
They just don't. It's just like when you're watching TV, you hate the commercials.
Oh, that's a good word.
And so that's what's happening, and your people are just going to zone out. So, which brings us to the second thing. Announcements seldom include the why with the what.
Yeah.
In other words, we tell people what we need them to do, but we don't tell them why.
Because you don't have enough time. It's not the appropriate place.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. We need children's workers. Well, why? I mean, not why because we don't have any. Why because why does it matter?
Yeah.
Why is it a calling of God? Why is it a ministry opportunity? You can't do that in an announcement, right?
And advertising, I mean, really, when you think about it, advertising or commercials, and excuse me for comparing church announcements with that, but that's what they are. The successful marketing is always based on need. What is the need? Why do you need to share this announcement? Whose life is it going to change? And so it's critical that your announcement be based on meeting a particular need that is truly a genuine need within the church. Number three, if listeners are listening and they're hearing a corporate announcement, and they don't think it's for them.
Right.
You know, everybody, we're having a pancake breakfast on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we need you all here at 6 a.m.
We need you all here tomorrow night. Everybody bring a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, those broad kinds of things are just, it's almost like wah, 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 wah. It's like the Charlie Brown teachers, right? You don't really hear it at all. It's just wah, 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 wah. Again, it's just way you're asking people almost to zone out at a time you want them to zone in. And maybe you do have a pancake breakfast. Well, you know, are there better ways to communicate that than suddenly, you know, put it on the screen? Everybody's got screens now. Put it on the screen. Have your announcements rolling on the screen. You know, have some flyers at the back people take with them or whatever. But I totally agree. It just becomes so much noise. And if it's for everybody, then it's not for anybody.
Here's a little experiment you should try. At the end of the service, after the service is over, with people are greeting each other and going, you know, people are leaving and heading forward, corner a two or three people and just say, tell me three announcements that you heard today.
Really.
What were they? Yeah. What were the three announcements or five announcements that we
word.
Did today?
Some church members carry baggage that makes it difficult for them to hear a call for workers. And part of that is because in some cases they've been wounded in their ministry and their others they've served with little training that they have felt like they failed. I mean, you got to be careful about that. You know, calling for workers it's not just like, hey, we need somebody to carry the trash out tomorrow. We need workers with the children, we need workers with the youth. Those are major ministry roles,
yes.
And they deserve more than just we need somebody to do this.
Yeah.
And again, maybe somebody tried to do something in the past, and as they're hearing that, it reminds them that they failed at it, and the reason they need help is because I couldn't do it. All kinds, you don't realize the mixed messages sometimes something as simple as an announcement asking for workers can be. And also, I've always said this, you know, I've been to churches so many times, we really need more workers in the nursery. Well, it says two or three things. First of all, it says our children not being well cared for because we don't have workers. Secondly, it must be a really bad place to work because they're desperate. Who want to go there? You know, and thirdly, this isn't a church that cares much about kids because they're begging for workers. It doesn't say anything good about the church.
Right.
And it doesn't get workers in the nursery or you wouldn't have to be doing it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't accomplish anything.
And you can't guilt them into doing it.
No.
And the other danger is that you're going to recruit the wrong kind of workers, right? And so, that's not...
Which goes along with the next point, and that is the wrong people make the announcements.
Yes.
You know, it's... We have a policy. Where we meet, we have people sit around tables. We do have rows of chairs where people sit, but the vast majority of the people are sitting around tables. And invariably, somebody wants, could we have 5 minutes before class to make the announcement? And we have a policy, and the policy is you have to print it out and put it on the tables or on the chairs.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to take the time for you to make the announcement.
Right.
And if I've seen a lot of primarily smaller churches that will do this. Does anybody else
have
an announcement?
Yeah.
And Sister Ethel will stand up and give a 5-minute invitation to the WMU breakfast right. for the ladies.
Pastor, I have an announcement I'd like to make this morning. Can I make
mercy.
It? Oh, sure. And they get up there and they tell a long story. And yeah, you just got to be so guarded about the wrong people making the wrong announcements. All right, let's go through these again. I always like to go back and recover where we've been. Number one, folks aren't listening to our announcements anyway. Number two, we seldom conclude the why with the what. Number three, if an announcement's for everybody, then nobody really pays much attention to it. Number four, asking for workers carries a lot of baggage perhaps you're not expecting. Number five, the wrong people making the wrong announcements at the wrong time. And number six, Mr. Hurst.
Well, this is really an important one because this is right to the gut of what we've been talking about, and that's that the announcements put the responsibility, let me put that in parentheses, put the guilt on the respondent rather than on the recruiter.
That's right.
So the reason we need more workers in the nursery is because you people aren't responding.
So here's what he's saying. He's saying this is the lazy approach to recruitment. Right?
It sure is.
Just making the announcement. We announced it. Nobody volunteered. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it really just comes back to, look, first of all, everything that we should be doing in church is ministry, right?
Yep.
And so everything that I do, even though it might seem like a menial, insignificant task, if it's my ministry, then it becomes really, really important. And so it really becomes more a matter of one-on-one recruiting as opposed to a general announcement.
Exactly.
Like, what can you do? And somebody that might be really good at working in the nursery, how about one-to-one?
Yeah. Guys, please be careful before you use the announcements as a chance to try to get workers to do anything, to go on a youth retreat, to volunteer to serve on the finance committee, to volunteer to serve on the trustee committee, to volunteer to serve with the children. Really double, really, really, really try to see if there's not a better way to do that than your Sunday morning worship hour for the reasons we've just talked about. People don't hear it. Those who do hear it in the wrong way. It's not the right person communicating it. It communicates the wrong things about your church. And again, as he just says here, it puts the responsibility on the respondent rather than the recruiter. It's your job as pastor to make sure these roles are filled. And look, I'm sorry, but you've got to do that one-on-one, spending time with people, encouraging them, equipping them, discipling them, growing them, not just giving an announcement on Sunday morning. And number seven, and the final one here, and some of you are thinking, I didn't think this podcast was ever going to get over, including Kyle. But here it is, number seven, the church is making announcements, but no one's praying for the Lord to raise up laborers.
Wow. How much time did you spend on announcements last Sunday? Ask yourself that question.
Right.
And then how much time did you spend in corporate prayer?
That's right.
I mean, it's really critical.
Because the Lord said, you know, we should pray for the workers of the harvest, not beg for them or guilt them into it or make them feel bad because nobody's here. And by the way, we all know there's a handful of men and women out there that if you get up there and say, we got to have somebody here Sunday morning before church to do X, Y, and Z and prepare, there are some who'll do it. Not because they're committed to Jesus, not because they're committed to that task, but because they just have in them this innate responsibility that if nobody else will do it, then I'm going to have to do it. And that's not a good thing either. It burns them out, and it keeps other people from doing what they need to do.
Right.
So just these blanket announcements really do not succeed the way you think they can, and they detract from your worship. And I would say if you do them as housekeeping matters at the very beginning of worship before you even start your formal worship service. Don't ever do more than two or three. And I agree with Hurst. At the end of the service, ask anybody if they even remember what you said. That would be a good idea.
Yeah, you'll find out quickly how important those things are.
So we're making an announcement right now that you should listen to this podcast next week.
Yeah.
So
we need listeners.
We need subscribers.
We need volunteers to listen. So, let me see a raise.
Many of you would be willing to volunteer to listen to this podcast?
This has been Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And thank you, North American Mission Board, for making it possible for us to do this on a couple of times a week.
Sometimes we have a special podcast
during the week.
It is.
And we let you know about that.
But sometimes we have podcasts that aren't special at all.
You know,
thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.